A senior official inside the Trump administration watches in horror as the president dismisses a carefully prepared intelligence briefing, declaring, "I don't want to read this. This is boring." Staff members exchange familiar glances. They've been instructed to limit documents to a single page, include as many visuals as possible, and mention the president's name frequently to maintain his attention. This isn't merely an administrative challenge. It's a national security crisis unfolding in real time. What began as an anonymous New York Times op-ed revealing a quiet resistance within the administration has expanded into a detailed account of a presidency in chaos, one where officials routinely scramble to prevent disaster as an erratic president operates without the temperament, knowledge, or ethical foundation required for the world's most powerful office. The book reveals an administration where approximately one-third of presidential directives are flat-out stupid, another third impossible to implement, and the final third plainly illegal. Staff developed elaborate strategies to manage these impulses, slow-walking orders, explaining legal boundaries, or distracting Trump until his focus shifted elsewhere. When the president suggested sending migrants to Guantanamo Bay as enemy combatants, advisors had to explain why this violated multiple laws. Yet with Trump, no bad idea truly disappeared. It simply waited for a moment when fewer guardrails remained. Measured against classical virtues, wisdom, justice, courage, and temperance, Trump falls short. Unlike his studious predecessors, he rarely reads, dismisses briefings, and spends mornings watching cable news. His intellectual limitations surface in grandiose claims like, "I know more about ISIS than the generals do," while officials privately note his grade school grasp of complex issues. His sense of justice is inverted, obsessing over perceived slights while treating others harshly. His guiding principle is excessive retaliation. "When someone attacks me, I always attack back, except 100x more." He belittles opponents with childish nicknames and becomes volatile when challenged. The Charlottesville Unite the Right rally exposed these character flaws starkly. After white supremacists marched and a counter-protester died, Trump blamed many sides. Though staff crafted a statement condemning hate groups, he soon claimed there were very fine people among the neo-Nazi demonstrators. One senior official, passing presidential portraits, concluded, "Donald Trump does not belong among them." Unlike Reagan's consistent positions, Trump's stances shift frequently. After changing parties 5 times before his presidential run, he steered the GOP from its foundations. Despite anti-socialist rhetoric, he's grown government significantly. The federal deficit has surged after falling under Obama. When warned about spending, Trump reportedly said, "Yeah, but I won't be here." His erratic military leadership has increased Pentagon budgets while creating instability. His biggest break from conservatism is economic policy. While Republicans traditionally supported free trade, Trump embraces protectionism. He incorrectly claims tariffs bring in far more wealth when they actually burden American consumers. His trade wars have eliminated jobs and harmed workers. Following Romney's 2012 loss, Republicans were urged to expand their base. Trump has instead made the party less fiscally conservative and more divisive. Those backing his second term may inadvertently damage the GOP's future, as his departure from conservative principles will outlast temporary policy gains. Trump's repeated question, "Why can't we just do what I want?" reveals his fundamental misunderstanding of American democracy, a system designed to prevent unchecked power through careful checks and balances. Unlike Theodore Roosevelt's respect for civil servants, Trump attacks career government employees as a traitorous deep state. This paranoia leads to experts being excluded, false information being planted to catch leakers, and offices becoming paralyzed under constant policy review. The intelligence community bears the brunt of his hostility. Trump dismisses their findings as bullshit, rejects daily briefings, and has compromised classified information, including revealing sensitive details to Russian officials, endangering intelligence sources, and forcing the extraction of a high-level asset. Trump views the judicial system as a personal tool rather than an independent branch. He pressures lawyers to approve inappropriate requests and berates those who refuse. His paranoia about note-taking during meetings reveals his guilty conscience. The result transforms American democracy into a mirror of Trump's businesses, poorly managed, plagued by infighting, mired in lawsuits, and serving its owner rather than its constituents. Oil is at $50 a barrel. How fucking stupid would I be? Trump told advisors when refusing to condemn Saudi Arabia's crown prince for Jamal Khashoggi's assassination. This transactional approach marks a stark departure from America's role as leader of the free world. As rising powers challenge American dominance, Trump's retreat leaves democratic values exposed to authoritarian competitors. Despite criticizing Obama for bowing to dictators, Trump openly admires authoritarian leaders. He praises Duterte's unbelievable job in drug enforcement through extrajudicial killings and calls Erdogan a friend despite his suppression of political opposition. When Jared Kushner befriended Saudi Arabia's crown prince, he remarkably suggested that if America faced Saudi Arabia's challenges, we'd murder journalists too. Trump simultaneously alienates America's closest allies through insults and threats. After hanging up on Australian PM Malcolm Turnbull over a refugee deal, he continued antagonizing partners, imposing tariffs on European allies, threatening to exit NATO, and nearly canceling the South Korea trade deal during North Korean tensions. Foreign officials now admit they're more guarded toward us than ever before. Trump's labeling of media as enemies of the American people echoed authoritarian rhetoric, contrasting sharply with Lincoln's post-Civil War unity message. His inaugural address portrayed America as a dystopian wasteland needing radical intervention. Through an unprecedented social media presence, averaging 18 daily tweets while in office, he launched sustained attacks on institutions from the FBI to Congress. This rhetoric deepened national divisions, with 85% of Americans believing he degraded political discourse. The Washington Post tracked over 30,573 false or misleading presidential claims, peaking at 21 daily in his final year. These range from economic distortions to election fraud conspiracies that sparked the January 6th riot, while his COVID-19 misinformation had tangible public health impacts. This sustained assault on truth created an epistemological crisis where Americans lost common ground on basic facts, with concepts like alternative facts cementing separate Republican and Democratic information ecosystems. The author concludes that Trump's presidency undermines democratic institutions and national unity, despite some achievements. Multiple insider accounts reveal concerning negligence, though the author acknowledges their misplaced faith in advisors' ability to manage him. They argue against non-electoral removal methods, noting that while officials privately considered the 25th Amendment during Trump's most erratic periods, such action risked being perceived as a coup and triggering civil unrest. Elections remain democracy's proper accountability mechanism. As Hamilton observed, the executive should be independent for his continuance in office on all but the people themselves. The author emphasizes that America's future isn't predetermined. History doesn't make us. We make history. The ballot box presents dual challenges, assessing Trump's fitness and proving ourselves worthy of liberty. This choice will define both our leadership and national character.